Welcome to Voices in Art, where we at Marshfield TV talk with artists from around the South Shore about their work, career, and life as an artist. In this episode, I spoke with Margaret Farrell Bruno about how she got to where she is in her career and ideas that she has for the future. We discuss the importance of mentorship and how, if you work hard and pay your dues, you can come out the other side as an independent artist. I think that any young artist would benefit from listening to Margaret explain her journey and career. Enjoy!
My name is Margaret Farrell Bruno. I'm a local artist in Marshfield, and I've lived in town for about 30 years. Everybody knows me locally by Peggy, although my artist name is Margaret Farrell Bruno.
Cool. And what type of art do you do?
So I do landscapes, portraits, plein air. I work mainly in pastels, but I also do oils and a little bit of watercolor.
Cool. That's nice. Where did you really start as an artist? Like, where did it all get started for you?
I actually started really early, when I was very little. I recall always having a pencil in hand and drawing, and even as little as, you know, first grade, I was drawing in the classroom, and the teachers would say, get back to your work, and but the other students used to have me drawing horses for them. Like, Peggy, can you draw me a horse? Can you draw me this? Can you draw me that? And I just always loved it. And my first time I really got to use it was, I actually recall, in fourth grade when we did a book report where they had us illustrate the book report, and I just had so much fun doing that. Then I just continued through high school, actually apprenticed with a woman in high school my senior year in Scituate. I grew up in Scituate.
Okay.
And she had a studio down by Minot. So I would go there almost every day, ride my bike to the studio, and a lot of the local artists used to come there a couple of days a week too. So I got to be exposed to what they were doing. Also, plein air painting, they brought us out plein air painting. They always had people coming in that we would paint from or draw from, so it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
And from there I went on to art school.
Okay. So one of the big reasons I want to do this podcast in general is I want people who want to be artists to hear from people who are artists,
mm-hmm.
what it took, you know, what steps and how, what they did that really got them into this lifestyle of being an artist. And so you said just now, at one point you met someone who you apprenticed under. How did you meet this person?
It was actually through my art teacher in high school. The woman's name was Marty Saunders, and she actually came to the high school, inquired of the art teacher if they knew of any student that would like to apprentice under her. And my art teacher approached me and asked me, which I was thrilled with.
Yeah.
So that really just opened the door, not only to seeing what other artists were doing out in the real world, but also materials. I had never used pastels before.
Oh.
And that's when it took off that I started that material. So getting that little bit of taste, I realized, you know, you can do this as a living. You can, you know, there's so many people that say, oh, you're never going to make a living as an artist, you know.
Well, you're going to have to do dishes too, or
right,
something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I ignored them, and my parents luckily supported me in that.
Yeah.
Which at that time, sending somebody to art school, you know, costs a lot of money, just like regular college. Which it was a college, but they supported that choice, and so I went on to Pratt Institute in New York City,
mm-hmm.
and there the program there was absolutely tops. They had professional artists, commercial artists, illustrators that were your teachers, so you were learning from some of the top people in New York City, and you also got to see different ways that you could apply art. Like even when I was in the fourth grade, I didn't realize, oh, I could be an illustrator,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Or I could be a graphic designer.
Right.
Those things, the programs that I had in high school really didn't delve into all those.
Hardly even mentioned that they exist.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Especially at that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So that really just opened my mind and
seeing
blew me away.
Paths. Yeah, like yes. Actually career paths.
Yes.
Like, oh my goodness, this mm-hmm. is amazing. And like probably meeting role models.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, some of the top illustrators. We're right there.
Coming in, giving lectures
yes.
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Art school is such a cool experience. That's awesome.
And also being in New York City, some of our places that we used to go to were the Museum of the Met.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those museums.
Oh, that's awesome.
So forth. So that was fantastic, too.
And that was when you were like 18, 19, 20?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that must have been an amazing experience.
Yeah.
I love New York City just for the art. It's like
yes.
so nice. You can walk around and see 1,000 artists of art in a day
mm-hmm.
easily walking around there. It's so
yes.
beautiful. So kind of like after your college experience, what were some of the first things you did that you were like, okay, it's working? You know what I mean?
Well, of course, when you get out of college, you have to pay your dues
mm-hmm.
just like anywhere else. And I actually, one of my first jobs was more in the graphic end, and I was basically a gopher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, draw this thing I don't want to draw.
A graphic graphics house called Rembrandt's Mother, believe it or not. It was
okay.
run by a woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Run by a woman, and she did a lot of graphic design for books and so forth.
That's a hilarious name.
I
we
know.
Can't just roll right past that. That's so funny. I love that.
I know.
Yeah. So you were doing stuff for books.
Yeah, we used to do books and all sorts of other materials. And of course, back then, too, I mean, it really was grunt work. We didn't have the computers that you have now. You had to actually send out for typeface.
Yeah.
You had to cut and paste it, wax it into place. You had to draw your own freehand lines,
wow.
you know, all this.
In each book.
In every book.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I hadn't considered that.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yes.
It's almost more art to the process than there would be now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so that was my first job, and so I did continue on kind of multitasking in illustration and graphic design. And I stayed in New York for probably about 7 years, I think, 7 or 8 years. And after moving here, again, kind of multitasked doing graphic design, but started getting more and more into the illustration.
Okay.
So I actually did illustration for some children's books, young adult books.
Okay,
things
great.
Like that.
What were they?
The names of them?
I don't know. It's kind of interesting
yeah.
in case people were
one
like,
was
oh,
called,
I look at that.
Well, one of the junior books was called Jasmine. I'm trying to think of what the other one was the
okay.
one called. But there was a number of them.
Okay.
I have
yeah,
them at
sorry.
Home. I'd have to dig them out.
That's cool. That's awesome, though. So, and then what? I just want to keep going. So what were some of the next steps after that?
So I kept as a multi-career, illustration, graphic design, and also being a mother.
Yes.
For quite a number of years, I did both. And then finally at one point, I think when my kids were all in school, I decided to just do art.
Okay.
And let the graphic end move away, because that was my true love, painting and drawing. So I still did illustration, but I also did more fine artwork. And that really took off. I actually got gallery representation.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's awesome.
So from there, I kind of not looked back and kept doing fine art.
So I have to ask, because that's such a pivotal moment in an artist's story, like when they choose to just fully commit. How did you choose to do that? Where did you get the confidence? What happened in your life where you're like, okay, this is where I can do it now?
I think I was approached by a gallery. I can't remember exactly the exact step, but there was a gallery at that time, that, believe it or not, that had opened in Scituate Harbor.
Okay.
And I think she had seen my work in a local show, one of the juried shows, and approached me and asked if she could represent my work. And of course, I said yes.
Like, oh my gosh, a gallery? No way.
Yeah. Yeah. So she had the gallery for quite a number of years, and then finally it closed. But I did very well there and sold a lot of paintings. And
so you just saw the success. You saw people appreciating your art, and it was like, there's almost no other option at that
point.
Yes, you know?
Well, and of course, I loved what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's almost like in your, I always tell people it's almost like it's in your blood. If I don't get to paint over a certain amount of time, I get very, like I don't, it's like somebody who doesn't get to have their coffee.
Yeah, you know? Totally. The angst a
yes,
little bit.
Yes, I get itchy and, you know, irritable.
Yeah.
And people don't want to be around me, you know. That's so like, oh, she wants to paint, she needs to paint, you know.
Go paint.
It's almost like withdrawal, you know.
So, I love that, though. That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, to hear that it's like this passion of yours, it's almost addictive, you know what I mean? It's so true, though. I feel like for so many artists, that's kind of how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not having it is not really an option.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my kids always appreciated it, too, I think. So that, you know, having my parents' support, my husband's support, and my children's support really kept me focused on what I wanted to do and keep trying.
That's so cool. That's so cool. I mean, just to have your family rallying around you, that's such an important factor in anyone's success, I think, in life.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah. So now that we've kind of gone through everything, or a good chunk, what is it now that gets you painting? Like, what is it? What inspires you?
I've gotten a lot more into larger paintings, and also now that I have the time, my last child graduated high school, graduated college, so I can now go out and do more plein air. So that I find very exciting because there's something about plein air, you really see the colors. And working from life, working from, even doing portraits, working from life as opposed to relying on a photograph, having that balance. So you really get attuned to seeing colors and picking up on values and much more so when you're working right from the subject, and that's
as opposed to really, like a photograph or something like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have always done that. I've always worked plein air and from the model and so forth. But now I'm finding now I can even do it more.
Yeah. The plein air, you just love that.
That's, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's nice too because there's a, with that there's almost more. You have to kind of imagine it a little bit because the light's going to move. I mean, I just had this conversation I'm sorry, just give me 1 second to remember her name.
Donna.
Yeah, she suggested that I get in touch with you. I'm so sorry. So I had the conversation with her about pastels and about colors, and she was saying that like going out and paintings and doing it like at the location is really nice because you get exactly, she described it so similarly to how you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this other aspect that you get to see it as the light moves a little bit. You get to see it in multiple lightings and kind of choose which one of those you're going to put in your painting.
Yes.
And I thought that was a really interesting way of looking at it. You get a little more choice.
Yes.
You know?
And it's also a challenge. It's
a
massive challenge because, as you said, the light's changing so quickly. So, you know, when you start a painting, 2.5 hours later, the light's totally changed. Mm-hmm. An example was I was out last week, plein air painting with a bunch of friends, and right at the Scituate Pier. And when we started, it was high tide. And I was actually doing the boats that were right next to the pier. And when right near when I was finished, I was like, why are these boats looking different? And I realized,
They're 10 feet lower.
It's lower, yeah. And it's shifted them because it's lower.
Yeah.
So that's why my angles aren't quite the same as when I started. So,
right.
So it is a great challenge that way.
And then trying to get in your head, now you're like closing your eyes, trying to remember what it looked like when you started painting,
yes,
and stuff like that.
Yeah. Exactly, yes. And you find it forces you also to work much quicker. Mm. You have to mix those colors. I do oils on location most of the time.
Okay.
So I have to mix those colors really fast and really process it much quicker than when in the studio.
Yeah. You know? I'm sure. No, that makes so much sense. Can I ask, how, since when you were first coming out of school, when you were first started developing your style, how has it changed since then to now? How has your style kind of evolved and changed?
Well, it's funny. I was looking, since I've been cleaning out my studio, I mentioned that to you before, 30 years of materials, and I keep finding photographs of some of my older work. And I think I've gotten a lot looser. It was more slick,
okay,
I guess you could say, when I was a little younger, and now I've gotten a little bit more looser and more, a little bit more fun.
Okay.
Part of that, I think, that is because I'm doing more plein air, and you have to be looser, you
right,
have to be
right,
fast. So I think that is affording even my studio work to not be as tight, to have more fun with it, and,
yeah,
and bring more color into it. So I think I've evolved that way.
Instead of kind of almost being a little, no, I don't use the word fearful, but like trepidatious towards getting into too many colors on the page, or, you know, maybe,
yes,
is that what you mean? Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, now you might be a
too,
little more ready to just kind of drop it on there and, mm-hmm, see what happens.
Yeah, and I think when artists start out, a lot of times they think they need to use, especially, you know, when you have pastels, you have so many colors, they think they should use every single color.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a way I think I've developed is limiting my palette,
mm-hmm,
even with the pastels. I found when I was much younger, as I was working, and I still do it sometimes, but I would put my pastels, and I would end up putting my pastels all between my fingers, and all of a sudden I couldn't be working anymore because I had so many colors in my fingers. I went, what? Because I'm not just doing it,
yeah,
and without even thinking, putting them all in between my fingers, holding them. And now, and usually what I do too is I tip them up in the trays to see which ones
are being used.
Are you being used?
Yeah. That's
and
a good idea.
I've found that nowadays I am limiting my colors a lot more per painting, so they actually are in more harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I
yeah,
feel.
I could totally imagine. Yeah, the balance. Mm.
Yes,
can strike more of a balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. That's so interesting. Oh shoot, it just made me think of a question. So, what would you say something like the qualitative differences between, like, aside from the colors, like a slicker style and more of a loose style would be? Like, how would you describe the qualities?
Well, in both my beginning style and my later style, I've always been pretty representational.
Okay.
But I think now my strokes, again, are not as tight.
They're, okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah, so there's this more looseness and experimentation almost, where when I was younger, I probably felt like, oh, I have to make the perfect little slick piece. And it's now I'm you know, as you get older, you realize the piece that is experimenting and reaching beyond that is actually going to be a better piece than the perfectly slick piece.
And I think one thing I'd add to that is, even once you're a master, then you can step away from the form and start to experiment, and your experimentations will be so informed,
mm-hmm,
that it's more than just an experiment. It's like, I've figured out my right way of doing this.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an interesting point. You hear it in art school, and you say, what is it? You have to learn the rules before you can start breaking the rules.
Yes.
That's what a lot of people say.
Exact. Yeah. Very true. Yeah. That's very true.
And I think it is, yeah. Especially in things like art. And mm-hmm. we do video work here, obviously, and that's, I mean, that's a huge part of it. You got to figure out the basics first.
Yes.
You know, that's step one.
And, you know, and with age comes learning and knowledge, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting up in my years. But I've been introduced to so many artists and styles and just learning the history, you know, if I say from college on, you know, 40 years mm-hmm. of learning.
Yeah, experience.
Learning about composition and balance and color and value. Really, it starts to become secondhand when you get to my age.
And get so much experience as
yes.
you've had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Which is great because mm-hmm. you don't, that part of it kind of, you're still always fighting, you know, you're
yeah.
still always learning. An artist, if you don't keep learning, then
you're stagnant.
Stagnant.
Yeah,
yes,
you're stagnant.
Exactly.
That's
it becomes
no good.
Stagnant. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's also the great part about being an artist is there's always something new to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's totally true too, because it's such a, it's a free world
mm-hmm.
of art. You know what I mean? There's uncharted territory, and there always will be, no
yes.
matter what.
Yeah, especially with the computer age now.
Oh, yeah, I know, it's crazy.
So many things that are being done, manipulating things that people scan in and so forth. So
yeah, everything that can go on. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So let's see. It's another one. So what's one of like your proudest moments in your whole career? Like what was one of the moments where you look back on and you think, oh yeah, that was a big one?
That's a hard one. Well, there's a show called IAPS, International Association of Pastel Societies. I'm sure Donna might have mentioned
it. She might have mentioned it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Last year or the year before, I'm trying to remember, I guess it was last year, I actually got my master's medal from them, which when you receive so many awards, you actually become a master.
Yeah, so I actually did use that word properly earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
So that, and even locally, you know, there's a local show, the Duxbury Juried Show is always a big show that everybody tries to enter because it's in the Art Complex Museum, so it's a beautiful setting. And so they get a large amount of people trying to enter their show, and I was lucky enough last year to get Best in Show there. So
wow.
I was absolutely honored and thrilled by that.
Wow.
Because you know? The caliber, you know, you walk through the shows and you just look at the caliber of work and you just say, wow. Wow, I'm lucky. You know?
Yeah. You're talented. You're talented. I mean, that's kind of the only way, you know what I mean? It's juried shows, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so cool. That's so impressive. It's also kind of cool to hear the answer to that question was so soon when you've had so much experience in your career, and then it was just in the last couple of years you've had some of your proudest moments. That's
yes.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And I'm sure just a couple of years ago, there would have been a whole other answer from just a few years before. And
that's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost a sign that you're progressing constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I just love that so much.
Yeah. I still have those bucket lists, you know, that I'm aiming for.
What would be one of your big goals that you haven't achieved yet?
Well, one of my biggest goals is, there's another organization called the Pastel Society of America, and they have a similar thing to IAPS, where when you reach a certain goal, you become a master. And I was actually involved with the Pastel Society of America before, it was around long before IAPS was, and
okay.
It's in New York City, and it gets over 1,000 entries every year into their juried show, and it's so hard to get into. So my bucket list is to reach that master
level. Get into
level.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
And do you have any idea of how like far along the progress level of that you are?
Let me think. I I have to get 2 more awards,
okay,
which is hard in itself. And then I'd be considered a master.
We're all rooting for
you. From there. So.
That's awesome. That's so cool. That's close.
Close. Yeah. It's close. You think it's close, but
well, how many? It's
so
two more out
hard
of
to get
many?
Into this show. It's so, yeah. So just to get in, you feel honored.
Yeah.
And then you fingers crossed.
Get an award, please. Yeah.
So it's actually a challenge to me because when I think of entering, like I'm thinking a year in advance, what can I do? What can I break? What different aspect can I do in a painting that they will consider it even for an award?
Yeah, you know? How can you break
but
ground?
But still keeping myself in that painting. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's so important for any artist is to do work for yourself, bottom line.
First.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
And then if that shines through in the work, that's usually when you do get the award.
Yeah. You know? And you found that's true with your work?
I have, although sometimes a piece that I didn't think would get an award, I end up getting an award
Everybody
for it.
Everybody just
I'm
loves
like,
it.
What?
Yeah, that's cool.
I didn't think that one would get an award. Yeah.
I think it was Patrice said that when she was talking to a juror once, they had said, you know, maybe if I had gotten light roast instead of dark roast this morning, I would have picked a different painting. Do you know what I mean?
It is. It's all...
it's where you're at right in that moment,
yes,
of making the decision. It's,
yes,
kind of what they made it seem like.
It's very... the judging is very subjective. It depends on who the judge is. And to be honest, a lot of times when I'm entering some of the national shows, I do look to see who the jurors
are. Oh, of course. Why wouldn't you? You gotta play to your audience.
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, if I feel, especially because nowadays it's so expensive to enter all these shows.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, if we were entering every single show that we wanted to, we'd never get to pay for our framing. You know?
Yeah, no, I understand. Wow.
So yeah, it's like $25 to $30 per piece. Mm-hmm. You know, it adds up quickly with all the shows now that they have.
Yeah.
I think when I started in out of college and so forth, started entering shows, there were so many fewer shows than mm-hmm. there are now. Even in pastel, there's
that
shows
good,
all
though.
Across the country.
Yeah.
And a lot more pastel artists too, which is great to see. It's very...
That's really cool. Having heard for the last, I want to say 20 years now, I've been hearing they're cutting funding for art, they're cutting funding for art, they're cutting funding for art. To hear that there's still an uptick in artists,
mm-hmm.
that's awesome.
Yes.
That's so great.
I think the organizations are very supportive and they keep growing. There keeps being more and more organizations that are presenting these shows. And they're getting funding from a lot of times from companies, and so there is that support.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so interesting. I'm really happy to hear that, actually. That's really great. So do you have any other stories from your career, your life as an artist, that you would think to share, kind of like a, maybe even like advice, anything like that?
Oh, advice.
A teachable moment that you've had in your life where you think, oh, I would love to have shared, I'd love to share that with other artists.
Well, I think starting right from the beginning, if you have the opportunity, I would love to see it in the Marshfield programs. I know they have the internship programs. I would love to see a partnership with maybe like the North River Art Society, where they partner some of the art students with local artists, because it really opens your eyes to what can be done. And what's out there, and just in materials too.
Mm-hmm.
So if that could be developed, that would be fantastic for students in the local area.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
That's like a really cool idea. I mean, they do, you're mentioning the internship program at the mm-hmm. high school, where it's the last quarter?
Yes.
Yeah, the students can go to an internship instead. That's such a cool idea. You should talk to the school about that.
Yeah.
You should just go see who can help you make that dream a reality, because
yes.
that's such a good idea.
I mean, even if an artist wanted to tag along with the, you know, all of the group that we go plein air painting, I mean, it really makes working in plein air and working from life, it really tunes your eye to seeing color and value and just working quickly with your hands, with even with a pencil, mm-hmm. if you were doing just black and white. It's really a teaching tool, and I think any young artist would actually enjoy it and have fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because I know it really, that's one of my most memorable times.
Mm-hmm. It was when you were
apprenticed. Yeah. Because I really did not have an idea. You know, schools are so much different than they were when I was young. And even my roommate in college, she was introduced to a lot more. She was from Ohio, and her school program actually did introduce a lot more of what was available for artists than mine did. And I'm sure that's changed a lot now. I see it myself because I worked... I was the president of the North River Arts Society for a number of years, and then I worked in their office too. And we worked with Marshfield High School to do the show every year mm-hmm. That's shown at the North River Arts Society. And you can see the teachers now are offering such a diverse array of styles and work and mediums, which is fantastic to see.
Yeah. People can grab onto whatever they're interested in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so great.
But it probably does help to jump in and follow some of the local artists around and just get their perspective. Almost like, you know, when my kids were learning to ski, and I used to say to them, follow somebody that skis really well.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
I surf and it's the same thing.
Yes.
When you're surfing and you're out with someone who's really good, you're like 10 times better.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just a weird side
effect. You stand behind them and you're looking and you're seeing what they're doing. You're like, yeah. Oh.
The motor
brush stroke just
click.
Did that. You know?
Yeah. Oh, with brush. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. That's so interesting.
Yeah. And that was something that I picked up on being an apprentice. I was standing behind some of these artists that have been working for years and years, and seeing the little swish of a brush or a certain way that they handled their materials, and I was like, oh, that's what they're doing.
Yeah. So then you've led me to the most natural next question. Would you be interested in taking on an apprentice if someone were to approach you about it?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. I'm not to tell you what to do. But a way that you could possibly make that happen would be to do exactly what the person you apprenticed under. Go talk to Miss Dinsmore.
Yes.
The art teacher at Marshfield High School.
Yeah, and I know her, so.
You do? Oh, my goodness. You should.
Yeah, because I worked with her with the show at the North River Art Society, so.
Sounds like we've come up with a plan here today. I mean, you should totally do that.
Yeah, and I'm sure other artists that are in the area would be open to it, too.
Yeah. I mean, I bet if you started now, by that last quarter next year, you would have found someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You should totally take into that. I love this
idea. I'll go for it.
Yes, I love that idea. So then my next question I've got on the list here. So what are you working on now?
Well, I just, as I mentioned, my yearly goal most of the time is to get a piece for the Pastel Society of America. So I just finished the piece that and it's entered, and I'm waiting to hear back if I get in.
So, fingers crossed.
And it was a challenge piece. It was a bigger piece, lots of figures in it, and I really had a lot of fun with it. I thought I really gave the design a lot of thought, and also what was important in the piece, keeping other areas less specific, mm-hmm. So that your eye would go to the place that I wanted you to go.
Yes, yeah.
Things like that. So I really worked on that piece for a while. It was a studio piece versus a plein air piece.
Yeah. How long have you been working on it?
And then the fun thing that I just finished was every year I go up painting to Maine with a group of artists, And we spend the whole week, we get up in the morning, we go out the door, we paint, come home, eat lunch, go back out the door, paint, you know.
Yeah, that
so sounds great. Everything is about painting and just being out there in the elements.
And you're up there with your friends and peers.
Yes. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's so cool.
And there's no, what's fun about it is you don't have to worry about meals, you know. We take turns, groups of us. Not to get into this a lot, but
no, it's interesting.
We take turns. Every night, somebody different makes the meal. So,
oh, that's
so
fun.
There's only one night you're making a meal for everybody, and then you're free the rest of the week. So there's nobody asking you, "Hey, Mom, when's dinner ready?" You know.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's awesome. Oh my gosh, I love that. So do you think you walked away from that weekend with some good work?
It was a whole week.
Whole week.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. As I said, I work in both pastel and oils. My main focus has always been pastels, but the last number of years I've been pushing myself to work in oils. So I think it's starting to click a little bit now.
Yeah.
Oils is such a different medium than pastels. It's a different approach. And it took me a while to get the feel, so I finally feel like I'm getting into the juicy parts of it. So.
Yeah, getting the stroke down just perfect.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's so great.
And just the mixing, and again, I think a lot of that was attributed to having to working plein air. You had to think fast about, all right, what two colors are going to make that color mixed together, and really teaching your brain to process how to make that color quickly.
Yeah, before the sun moves 4 degrees and changes it all up.
Yeah,
that's so interesting. So where do you have work displayed anywhere right now? Is there anywhere people can go see your work?
Yeah, I have a gallery in Braintree that represents me, the Framer's Edge.
Okay, cool. Yep. People can go check it out there.
I did have a Cape gallery. But they closed, which I was very sad about. They were a beautiful gallery in Wellfleet. So I'm actually in the search for a Maine gallery because I work up in Maine now so much, and I have a lot of Maine work.
I'm sure people like to buy stuff of their area.
Yes, part of their exactly. Area. Yeah, I mean, it really, a lot of the pieces that I used to sell at the Scituate Gallery were all local pieces.
Totally. We've got two hanging in my house, and it's the view off my back deck, and we put it up there next to it, so it's like, whoa. And then another one of the house just right up the street. Just two little iconic things for just us and our house and our family.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, and there are some of those pieces, the local ones, where my husband's like, I'm sorry, I'm not letting that go. That has to stay here.
Yeah,
and
that one's
because
important.
Because he just loves, you know, that's a memory to him.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of fun, too, is I do find that when someone picks one of my pieces of work, it's bringing out something in them that's a memory or something that's warm to them and it's personal to them.
Yeah. Like when your work is very special to someone else.
Yeah.
That's such a cool feeling.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Or just that they're getting something out of it. They're seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's great. That's so cool. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I was just thinking of something. I guess just on that thought of seeing when people can relate to what you're painting, that it become that whenever I'm doing a painting or working even plein air or studio, I am trying to get onto that two-dimensional piece of paper or canvas. What excites me? What's exciting me about the scene or the figure or anything? And when that happens, I feel like, okay, I've done it. You know, when somebody can see what I've seen, that it makes something pop. Within them too, I feel that's what almost like the true gratification. Whoops, I'm bumping
that's
my.
Okay.
That's almost like the true gratification is I've been able to convey why I'm so excited about the scene in front of me.
Yeah, and share that excitement
yes.
with your viewer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so great.
I think that's the final reward is that somebody else is getting a little joy out of it too.
Yeah, you know? And feeling, you're sharing that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
Oh, no problem.
This has been a wonderful interview, wonderful conversation.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time and the effort you guys are putting in for this.
Oh, great. No, this is one of my favorite things to do. So thank you so much.